The reading is taken from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 31, and it's on page 1020 in your church Bible. The Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparation for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. Roberto, would you like to come up, and we'll pray for Roberto before he speaks. So, Father, we pray that you will anoint the words of your servant this morning, and you will open our ears and the eyes of our hearts so we may receive and understand what you want to say to us this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We are reaching the last few hours of Jesus, very close to his crucifixion. So the Lord has this idea of inviting all his 12 friends to a restaurant in Jerusalem. I suppose they had a fantastic meal with plenty of wine and a nice conversation. And as Paul was explaining on Sunday morning, the disciples will and Jesus will use like a mat on the floor. The tables were very low, and they would just recline on the floor so they could have the meal. In the last few hours, Jesus is trying to do is trying to make a connection between the Passover, the original Passover, and the new Passover. And that's why he invites them for this supper. The original Passover took place 1300 years before the death of Christ. And it is important to go back to Exodus to understand what was the original Passover. What was trying to do? God was trying to teach them something in the original Passover that it will happen 1300 years later in Jerusalem. So for that, we have to go back to Exodus chapter 12. And as we read that, the passage is really a terrifying passage. Yes, I'm just going to read two verses on Exodus 12:12. This is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So you imagine in UK the Lord will send a word like that. And tonight at 12 o'clock, the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord himself, will pass through every single house in every street of UK. And tomorrow morning when we wake up, every household will have somebody who is dead. Either the firstborn woman or the firstborn man, and all the farmers will also see dead animals. How will you feel as a nation when you wake up tomorrow morning and there is such a massive destruction going around? I think it is difficult to imagine what the Egyptians felt, because even the son, the firstborn son of Pharaoh, died that night. So nobody was spared. From the top to the slaves, to people in prison, this is what the word of God tells us. Even people in prison, the firstborn will die that night. The angel of the Lord did not spare anybody. And it's interesting because before the 10th plague, there were another 9 plagues before. The 9 plagues before were plagues, I don't know how to explain that, but they were different plagues. It was more like giving them a warning, something which made them uncomfortable. Flies, millions of flies going around. You know, and the flies are a pain in the neck, aren't they? You know, sometimes you're trying to go to have a little sleep and you have this fly going on and on and on, and you know, it's terrible. Flies. Then frogs. I like frogs, but not millions of frogs going around my house, under my bed, jumping on my table. You know, it's like, this is too much. You know. Then contaminated waters. We are complaining so much of our contamination. But you imagine again the contamination of water. All the rivers, all the dams in the country, you open the tap in your kitchen and it's all coming, is red, ugly, smelly water. You know, but God was trying to tell them, come on, you know, I am real, I am, you know, I'm going to bring something serious if you don't pay attention. So these 9 plagues were something which were really warnings of what was going to come if you don't pay attention to the final warning. And the final warning is that if you don't do this, I will bring judgment. But not judgment on flies and through flies and frogs, but it will be a personal judgment. It will touch your lives. It's going to touch your families. I am going to kill your firstborn. Just think about that. That tomorrow morning I will wake up and my firstborn is going to be dead. And it's nothing I can do. And it's interesting because before that, he will just send the flies and the frogs and all these things. But in this case, he says here, I will pass through. It's God himself coming from heaven and passing through the land. I will pass through. And he says that in two occasions. I am the Lord and I will pass through. And I'm not going to spare anybody, and you're going to learn the lesson. This is the wrath of God. Let me tell you something. I don't like to talk about the wrath of God. It is the wrath of God and hell are the two subjects which I would like to, if it's possible, to wipe out of the Bible. I would like to have these seasons, you know, and I just go through the Bible, and every time there's a judgment, wrath, destruction, hell, I just take it out. It is a terrible subject. But we cannot really understand the cross of Christ and the grace of God without understanding the wrath. The cross of Christ is there is because there is wrath. Otherwise, we wouldn't need the cross. So we have to keep the two things together. And in fact, the more we understand the wrath of God, the more we are grateful for the grace of God and the cross of Christ. So the first Passover had to do with killing a lamb which was sinless. Well, I'm not sure whether they are sinless. I don't think they are sinless. But anyway, it could be. You know, sometimes you have these lambs which are a bit thick, you know, and do something silly. But normally, I don't think they will be. It's a sinless animal, really. It hasn't done anything. And you take this little lamb, and I've seen them in Spain. These really beautiful little lambs, so nice. And you take this lamb, and you cut the head of the lamb, and you collect the blood. And the lamb, if the lamb can think, will say, you know, what is going on here? Why are you taking my life away? What have I done? And you take all the blood of the lamb, and then you paint the blood with, you know, your house, the doors. So when the angel of the Lord comes, sees the blood of this sinless animal, and he knows that there is a covenant. I will not touch your family. I will not touch your firstborn. I will just pass by. This year, the Passover in the Jewish calendar will take place from the evening of the 30th of March until the 7th of April. It all has to do with judgment. The life of a living being has been taken away so God can pass over and don't touch the people who live in that house. Those people were taking refuge in a place, in a house, which was marked by the blood of the lamb. The lamb was a sign of substitution. I can take your life, says the Lord, but if you kill a lamb and you put the blood on the doorpost of the house, or the doors, I will not touch you. It's a sign of substitution. Before that, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Now they are free. Before they couldn't move, they were under Pharaoh's rule. Now they are under God's grace. Now they are free to move forward and go into the promised land. Exactly the same as everybody here. And the question will be, are you under the blood of Christ? Have you painted the doors of your life with the blood of Christ? There is a contract. Passover is a contract between God and people. The contract is written in blood. God makes peace with human beings through the blood of the Lamb. In this case, it's not a little animal, it's his son. So that's why we have to understand what was going on 1300 years before Christ, to try to understand why the Lord's Supper. So when we come to the Lord's Supper and we take the wine and the bread, what does it really mean to you? Every time you do that, what you are doing is taking into account God's contract with you. Now, what can you do for this contract? Is there anything you can do in the contract? I will say, no, there's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do in the contract is that you take the bread and you break it. And when you break it, it's exactly the same as if you were taking this little lamb and cut the head of the lamb. Instead of being the lamb, is Christ. That's why the Lord says here in Mark's Gospel, when he broke the bread, this is my body that is broken for you. So every time we take the bread and we break the bread, it's exactly the same. We are breaking the body of Christ. We are recognized that this is a contract. And the contract has to do with God. It has nothing to do with us. God wants to make peace with us. God wants to make peace with every human being. And the only thing we can do for that is really to believe it. To believe the contract. To believe that the contract has been signed by blood, by the blood of Christ. So when we drink the wine, is to remember that we are covering ourselves with the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So I am doing exactly the same as the Israelites 1300 years before the death of Christ. It is a symbol. At the same time, it's a serious symbol. It's not just a symbol. And this is the problem with the Reformation. The Catholic Church, in the Catholic Church, they believe that really the bread and the wine becomes actually the body, the true body and the true blood of Christ. With the Reformation, we move to the other side. And we think it's just a symbol. Well, it's not just a symbol. I mean, my ring, or those of you who are married, is this just a symbol of marriage? Is just a symbol of commitment? Is this just a symbol of promises? It's only a piece of gold. Is this just a symbol? So what happens if you see me one day taking this symbol and throw it away? Or getting a hammer and smashing the symbol? It's just a symbol, isn't it? Doesn't really matter, does it? Does it matter? It is only a symbol. So come on, what would you say if you saw me hammering this piece of gold? There is something wrong in your marriage, man. No? Wouldn't you say that? It's exactly the same as when we take the bread and the wine in the Lord's Supper. It is a symbol, but it is more than a symbol. For the Apostle Paul says that when we take this without revising our lives before the Lord, before we take it, it's an offense to God. We have to take the symbols with a sense of, what am I doing really? Revising our lives. Asking the Lord for forgiveness before we take the symbols. Recognizing that it is the power of God and the power of the blood of the Lamb in Christ that cleanses me from all my sins. That I don't take the symbols in just a ritual way. Okay, well, that's something that we do every Sunday. Is it? Can we take the symbols lightly? Should we? And this is one of the problems we can reach when we take the bread and the wine in a very regular basis. That it can become just, okay, something to do on Sundays. is part of our Christian inheritance. Is it? Is it only that? So every night when I go to bed, I take my watch and I put it on the day on my table, and also I take my ring and I put it on the table. In the morning, I put it back. I need to be reminded. And I think as I get older, it's probably Alzheimer. I get used to having my wife next to me. We can get used to taking the symbols. They've always been there. Is it? As simple as that. This is a blood covenant between God and man. It's a contract. But in this contract, the only one that signs is God. I don't have to sign anything. After this night, all the disciples run away. A great group of men, weren't they? It's amazing because the only ones who maintain firm and steady in those difficult times were women, by the way. They stayed close to the cross until the last minute. They were the first ones in the tomb the following day. But men, bad show. All the disciples ran away from Jesus. Now it's interesting because Jesus didn't run away from the disciples. Because it's a contract between God and man, but it's the only one who signs is Christ. And that's the beauty that gives me peace. For when I come very often to the Lord's table on Sundays or Wednesdays, I know that if I was because of me, I had broken the contract through the week. I have done things. I have thought things. I have said things. I haven't done certain things, and therefore, if it was a contract, I think I will be in a bad place. But this is not like that. When I take the symbols, I just get the bread, and I go through the process, and I get the wine, and I paint myself with the blood of Christ. So I know that I am safe, I'm secure. Because the only one who has signed the contract is God in Christ. So this is what Jesus was trying to tell them in the Last Supper. Let's kill a lamb. Let's remember what happened in Egypt. Let's fear God and his wrath. The wrath of God is still there. But for believers, for people who really take serious the Lord and his contract with us, we are free from that wrath and the fear and the judgment. So what can you do? The only thing you can do is to come with a grateful heart before the Lord. Before you take the symbols, to recognize your sinful attitudes, the mistakes done, things that you have broken, and be grateful. Be grateful because you know that if God at that moment will come through your life in judgment, when he sees you taking the symbols, he will say, no, I pass by. What a beautiful sense of freedom, isn't it? Tonight the Lord is going to pass through every single house of this country. And when he sees my life, my cross in my house, that's why I have several crosses in my house, just to remind me, this place belongs to the Lord. This place belongs to Christ. So may the Lord help us every time we take the bread and the wine, that we don't take it lightly, For it's more than a symbol. It's much more than a symbol. Be grateful. Be happy. The wrath of God is not applicable to you or to me. What an incredible blessing. I can sleep with peace of mind and heart that whatever happens, the wrath of God does not apply to me or to you.